A pastor gave an account of an opportunity he had to speak about 40, 50 years ago at the Strategic Air Command base in western Oklahoma. And during a tour of that base, he was talking to the commanding officer, and he showed him five large bombers who were loaded with nuclear weapons. These were the ones that would take off at a moment's notice if an emergency came up. And it was pretty awe-inspiring to see all of that. But then the commander replied, he said, I can't give you classified information, but let me just tell you about those payloads. In terms of World War II explosives, a train 5,000 miles long, with each freight car holding 100,000 pounds of bombs, would be required to carry that load. Now you think about that, just one atomic bomb, and you have that kind of power. We're obviously aware of that today. But folks, that's nothing compared to our God. Someone has said that when an eagle soars high above the earth, it doesn't worry about how it'll cross the river. Our faith in God's power and His person and who He is and in His attributes, they are our divine eagle's wings. We never have to prove the power of God. We never really prove the power of God until we attempt the impossible. These different angles that I've mentioned here in the way of introduction are to set up our perspective here on what we're going to look at, which is the theme passage for our heartbeat of this ministry year, the I Am. Exodus chapter 3 is a display of God's power, clarity as to who He is, and also what can be accomplished in our lives. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 3. We've had the privilege in the evening services of being in the book of Exodus for some time, and we're going to look just at some key verses here that are around our theme that I believe are very important. So let me begin with Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, Sinai, same mountain. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This morning, the first thing I want us to see here is God's presence. We often think of God almost in what you would have from a philosophical or a false religious standpoint, a deist perspective. God is somewhere out there and we are here. That's not the God of the Bible. God's presence is very real, and here we see Him appearing in fire, appearing as fire. And over, we'll see a couple of those passages. As you look in Scripture, you will see when God is ever displayed, even in a slight display of His presence in a literal way, it is always fire, consuming fire. Now, Moses was faithfully working here, as it says. He was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He had been in the wilderness 40 years. God had humbled him greatly. He was the one that was in line to be the next Pharaoh of the greatest empire on earth at that time. The majesty, the technological advance of the Egyptian Empire still awes us today. We cannot figure out how they could do some of the things that they did. And miraculously, God had put Moses in a place in which he was seen as Hatshepsut's son, and therefore, to Thutmose III, he would have been the successor. But God caused him, through his own taking into his own hand deliverance, sent him into the wilderness. It wasn't the right time. But instead of moping and becoming bitter or running from responsibility, we find him here 40 years later, faithful in doing what he should do. He's in the valley of Araha, which is 2 miles long and 1/3 mile wide, and it lays in the area there of Mount Sinai. And so he had his sheep at a place where there was abundance of water, enough food for a large herd. He was taking his work seriously. And let me just say that it isn't a minor matter. God records it here. Moses was being faithful with his responsibilities at that point, and therefore God was able to reveal himself to Moses. Much more could be said about that. But God appears in a blaze of glory. Here you see a bush there at the foot of Mount Sinai that was not being consumed, but there was a fire that was an outspringing of deity. And in that was the presence of God. It's stated over and over in this passage. And here Moses was confronted with the actual presence of a manifestation of God. There's a story about a kindergarten teacher who asked a boy what he was drawing. Without pausing to look up, he said, "A picture of God." The teacher smiled and responded, "But nobody knows what God looks like." The boy carefully put down the crayon, looked her squarely in the eye, and declared, "They will when I'm finished." We can smile at that little boy, but mankind has been doing that for thousands of years, giving us a false drawing, so to speak, of God. I'm telling you, when you meet God spiritually, it's something that goes beyond human understanding. It's a spiritual illumination. And so as we look at the theme that we have, we're talking about knowing our God through the illumination of the Holy Spirit who inspired this book, wrote this book through the human authors. And the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, are always manifested in fire. When the Holy Spirit came upon and into dwell in the lives of the apostles there on Pentecost, how did he appear in the manifestation of his presence? Tongues of fire. And so this is what we're facing here, is the fact that God wanted Moses to understand that he is the glorious, all-powerful God. This fire was not natural. And folks, the fire that God wants us to have in our hearts with the presence of deity is supernatural also. And this is, to me, always instructive that when God reveals himself, there is that blaze of glory. And we have this treasure, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, in earthen vessels. The very presence of spiritual presence of God should be seen and acknowledged through our lives when we are walking with him. Daniel 7:9, speaking of the revelation of God to Daniel, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like unto a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." Then you go to Revelation chapter 1 as John is brought through a vision into the presence of God. And there he sees his Savior that was so beloved to him. And he says in verse 12 of Revelation 1, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks," representing the churches, And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. That's our Savior now. By the way, was Jesus found when John saw him? In the midst of the churches, where two or three are gathered together, here I am. Folks, the flaming, fiery presence of God is with his people right now. Has your heart ever burned within you as you've met together? Did it burn a little bit this morning already as we talked about who God was? That's what the Spirit of God does. He wants our very inner being to understand some of the fire of the glory of our God. He wants that to become a spiritual reality to us that know him. It's very interesting. He acknowledged Moses personally here. When Moses turned aside, he saw this great sight. He said unto him, "Moses, Moses," in verse 4. And he said, "Here am I." If you go to Exodus chapter 33, you don't need to turn there, but if there in the following chapters, as Moses was interceding with God, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." So we need to understand the great I am, the mighty God of the universe, knows you and knows me by name. And he has a special knowledge of his children. We are his. Moses was his child, and he knew him by name, and a relationship was developed with him. But I want you to note, what if Moses had just been totally distracted and didn't care much about what was going on and just went, saw, oh, there's a bush on fire, and he just keeps on going? He would have missed a very important divine appointment, wouldn't he? And he said, I'm going to see what's going on here. Folks, we all live in a very distracted time. And if we're not purposeful, both privately and corporately, to take time to let the Spirit of God burn within us and cause us to know him, we're going to miss his voice. We're going to miss hearing him call our name in our spirit. And let me just say, folks, from the depths of my heart, the Lord Jesus knew what we'd be facing in these days. And you find in the epistles that were written that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even so much more as the day is approaching. And you look at how much they met together in the book of Acts. What do we need today? Listen, aren't you overwhelmed by secularism a lot? Aren't you overwhelmed by all the different forces and the distractions out there? There is something very special about meeting together. The Savior has a special presence within the local church if the church is what it ought to be. The Word of God is empowered by the Spirit of God, and the giftings that the Spirit of God gives one another brings the reality of truth to our lives. It is very important. So I want to encourage you that if you want to be in a place in which you stay, you are able to put away the distractions and to be able to grow in the Lord and to understand who your God is and get on the pathway of knowing him, the priority of hearing the Word of God and hearing it preached and taught and sung and the fellowship of God's people. Folks, it is the way God has planned. The most important institution in all of the world right now, the center of God's plan is the local church. He's the head of this church and every good Bible-believing church, and we're his body. And where did you find that wonderful manifestation of Christ in Revelation chapter 1? In the midst of the churches. If you want to find out, do you like to be in the know? Do you like to be where the action is? Well, I'm telling you, the action is with God's people. And I say that. I've had the privilege all these years of being involved in the Church of the Living God. And though the church is humanly imperfect, all of our churches are, and when we look to God, what happens changes our lives. If you want to be around when you see to see fiery bushes, you need to be with God's people. And let me just say this again, as I mentioned earlier, folks, I want to encourage you to make it a priority to be at the New Life meetings. New Life. You know, we all have needs. God doesn't want you to stay defeated. He wants you to get on a pathway of tremendous usefulness. He wants to answer questions. And God uses the gift of an evangelist in a very unique way. And that line upon line of several days in a row can bring you to the burning bush. It can bring you to that place where you get rid of all your human worries and distractions, and you quiet your heart, and you can listen to the one that God has given to speak. And I'm telling you, folks, that's where we hear our name. And even let me just say, in the services, I want to encourage you to really let the Spirit of God bring you into an understanding just have a purposeful focus about the music. The music this morning was designed to be for this very message. The testimonies, the things that you hear, obviously the preaching and the prayer. Even listen as God's people pray. And I can't encourage it enough, corporate prayer. We preached on that a couple of months ago. Wednesday nights. Saturday night revival prayer meeting. Oh, those are sacrificial. But I'm telling you, those are special times when God moves in. And that's where body life occurs in the church. So aren't you glad Moses turned in to see what was going on? Changed everything. We wouldn't have all the miracles. We wouldn't have the nation of Israel. He wanted to be in the presence of God. And let me also just say that God declared his holiness. And in this very ungodly world, we need to realize that God's presence will cause us to realize that we can have a life that is not tainted by this world, and we can be delivered. The presence of God demanded a holistic preparation of the one who would aspire to enter his presence. Therefore, to teach Moses this lesson, God set up admittedly arbitrary boundaries. Do not come any closer, and commanded that he should also remove his sandals. This was to prevent him from rashly, intruding into the presence of God, and to teach him that God was separate and distinct from mortal men as far as his person is concerned. Because God was present, what had been ordinary became holy ground, and consequently set apart for a distinct use. The place where sheep and goats had traveled just a short time ago was transformed into holy ground by God's presence. Folks, did you know your house can all of a sudden be sacred ground? We have a lot of sacred ground memories right here, don't we, folks? Where God moved in. When the fire showed up. All the memories. And we need many more now, day after day. The place that you might have gone out into the woods and to seek the Lord and God met with you. Those are special places. But folks, those are holy places, and you cannot go into the presence of God with willful lack of holiness. We need to realize that one of the things that holds us back is when we're not willing to listen to God, and some of that's going to be given to us in these next days. It's very important for us to have faith to realize who God is and how that applies to our life. As Dan DeHaan said, lower our sense of holiness and our sense of sin is lowered. So as I finish this point, let me read you a quote by A.W. Tozer. And I want you to listen to this closely. The practice of the presence of God consists not of projecting an imaginary object from within his own mind and then seeking to realize its presence. A lot of people try to do that. It is rather to recognize the real presence of the one whom all sound theology declares to be already there. Folks, he's here right now. But are you aware of his presence? Is your heart open? Is it really that important? Is that the burden of your soul? Are you holding on to something? You see, he's desiring to cause us to know him so we can join him. He's there. But we have to take off our sandals and bow before him in our lives, so to speak, and realize who he is. Number two, God's purpose. If you look with me now at verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I also have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. God was aware of the need of the nation of Israel, and according to his timing and purpose, that his whole purpose for this interaction with Moses was the deliverance of Israel from captivity. And folks, we need to, and only God can do this, and this is very important. We hear messages and all, but unless our hearts are open, we do not grasp the horrendous need that is around us. At times, sometimes when I'm driving here in our neighborhoods, I think behind those closed doors, there is so much heartache. There is so much awful sin that is occurring. There are people that are on the brink of committing suicide, even in some of the nicest homes. There is an emptiness. There is a fear all around us. All around the world, you see the need of people that need to hear the gospel. But honestly, we can know it here. But it's not till we are experiencing the presence of God, like you've been looking at in the Bible studies, experiencing God, do we really get a hold of what God wants us to do. You see, Israel had finally come to the place where they needed to deliver. No longer did Egypt symbolize the delightful foods, wealth, and fatness. Instead, it now meant slave masters, forced labor, and bondage. So Israel cried out to God. Now, folks, do you think God may be doing that to our communities right now? I think in many people's lives, they're looking for something. What an opportunity. And God is able to deliver. Oh, the Lord Jesus said there at Nazareth, right at the beginning of his ministry in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, my friends, there is deliverance in Jesus. Corrie Ten Boom, that precious lady that suffered so badly during World War II because of her hiding of Jews there in the Netherlands. God spared her, and she said, when I bring my sins to the Lord Jesus, he casts them into the depths of the sea, forgiven and forgotten. He also puts up a sign, no fishing allowed. Oh, I'm telling you, deliverance is complete. What a message! Eternal life! Forgiveness of sins, the righteousness of Christ, and then for those that are saved, deliverance from sin. My friends, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the great God has completed what is needed on the cross. And if we will look to him, we can live a crucified life in which Christ gives the regular victory and we can be free. What a message of deliverance. And so it's important for us to know that message. Be reminded of it. From a practical application, I want to encourage the entire church a week from Saturday, as I've already mentioned, to be at the All Church Ministry Training Day as we look at the need of the hour. How important it is and what God can do. I'm telling you, when a church bands together, and we've seen it over and over, God can do mighty things. God's ready to deliver. Victory Conference is going to be focused on God and the big picture today. taking this theme and just driving it home. And it's going to be a time which in gathering with preachers and laymen from all over this country and around the world as we see the cause of this day. I urge you to plan ahead for that time. Missions Conference, not up on a slide here, but as you see the big picture around the world from a mission standpoint. Why do we do all these things? Because, folks, we need to hear again the voice of God saying, I want to deliver. Aren't you glad it's not God's primary desire to judge? He will. The great white throne judgment's coming. But he died on the cross to deliver. We need to get that in our hearts and souls. And let me just say a word here. He was going to fulfill the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, let's go on to point three. God's plan. Very interesting here. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. What was God's plan? Moses. God commissions Moses to lead the deliverance. But Moses wasn't so sure about it. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mount. And did that happen? They were back at that very same place. God did it. You see, God uses people. Oh, I tell you what, you get stirred when you think of the deliverance that God wants to give. You get stirred especially, and I trust you will in these months ahead, as we look at the many-faceted person of God and his attributes, as we look at Jesus as displayed in flesh, the character of God. But then it always gets down to, go ye. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Moses. He calls out each one of our names. Moses shrinks back. He had died to human ambition. By the way, you can never be used of God until you die to human ambition. That's what happened to Dwight L. Moody at the big Chicago fire. All of his great enterprise for God was burned up, and he needed God. And that's when he became the Dwight L. Moody evangelist that we know. He knew that he could not bring deliverance in his own strength. And he had been willing to let God mold him, but this was really a big thing. He knew the paganism of Israel. He acknowledged his own ability. He understood that this would not happen. There's no way the new Pharaoh, Amenhotep II, a very ruthless man, would ever listen to Moses. No way that that would occur. And he knew he in himself didn't have that authority. God's going to make it clear, I'm going to be with you. That's what he said. I will be with you, and I'm going to bring you back to this same place. I can't do it, and God said, I can. And we look at a very pagan country. It's the sin of our day, takes our breath away. It's crept into the lives of God's people. God's people are distracted and empty, and we look at seeing God work, and our eyes are upon ourselves like Moses' eyes were upon himself, and he said, I can't. But did God stop there? No, he said, I'll be with you. I will work. We've got to understand in this day, 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God. God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. More than 130 years ago, a number of distinguished Americans met at the Astor House in New York City during the presidency of President Fillmore. And among the dinner guests was the Secretary of State, Daniel Webster. And he had been unusually quiet, so try to get conversation going. A colleague asked, Mr. Webster, will you tell me what is the most important thought that you've ever had? Well, following a brief silence, he confidently replied, the most serious thought that ever occupied my mind was of my individual responsibility to God. And folks, that's really true. For unbelievers needing to yield to Him in salvation, but folks, as believers, nothing else is important when you understand who God is. And so God promises Moses His power to lead the deliverance. His grace is sufficient. God is able to do it. Talked about Dwight L. Moody. He was preaching in front of royalty and a various high-level audience in London, and it was in a major theater there. Noblemen were there. He arose to read the scripture lesson from Luke 4:27, and the word Elias came up, and he couldn't say it. He stumbled over it. He reread the verse. He stumbled over it again. And very embarrassing. Everyone was nervous. And finally, he looked up to God. He closed the Bible with deep emotion and said, "Oh God, use this stammering tongue to preach Christ crucified to these people." And the power of God came upon him, those that knew him well, greater than had ever been in any of his messages. And hundreds of those noblemen came to Christ at that time. God is able to do it. In fact, Moses had a stammering tongue. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." God is able to do it. Now, folks, I know as pastor for many years now, as we bring out, as we talk about our names being called and God says, "I want you to go," there's such a sense of failure, fear, inadequacy that can come. As we look at outreach this fall, the temptation is to say, "Well, I trust a lot of people get involved and I love to hear about people being saved, but I just can't." Why can't we? Moses said, "Who am I?" And God said, "Doesn't matter who you are. It matters who I am. That's what it's all about. Know me first. Get your eyes on me. Then join me and I'll do it." Folks, the reason we don't believe God can answer prayer, the reason we're weak in our families and our leadership, the reason we don't do many other things by faith that we ought to do is because we can't believe God in God's mission for our day, and that's getting out the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. And Moses, he gave every argument he could. Now, it's not all bad because we can't, but the point is God can. I've already mentioned about Community Sunday. Folks, this is an opportunity that is very precious to all of us. The Reimers family is just thrilled about the fact that their son's testimony can be used to reach a community. And let's take the open door. Don't say, "I can't." Look at God and say, "He will." Wouldn't it be wonderful to see some miracles through you? Wouldn't you love to see God do what you cannot do? And so as we're looking at that, we'd like to cover Menominee Falls, door to door, any way we can. Say, "I can't do that." You can go with this message. You'll be amazed what God can do. Your personal prospects, people you know, get a list of those. Invite everyone on your ministry list one way or the other. We have wonderful folks that have been here for many different things that are on your list. We're going to have outreach opportunities for first responders. And then every Saturday, at 9:30, we'll have nursery and all, but we're going to have blitz Saturdays as we really don't believe God. Your flesh says, "Oh, I can't," or "I don't want to." But I'm telling you, when you start joining God, you're going to begin to see how big your God is. And you'll never see it unless you join Him. That's when you see how great He is. And I would encourage you too. I'll just throw in about the Starting Point class again. I'd love to have you part of the team here, understanding who we are. I'd love to have you sign up for that. All right, I need to conclude with point number 4, God's person. Moses is very aware of the Israelites' need. Look with me at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? In other words, folks, they knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they were inundated with the philosophy and religion of Egypt. And you see that throughout the wilderness wanderings. He knew the stubbornness of those people. And he knew that he could not do this in his own. And he said, I've got to have the right message to give them. And we go on here, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord, that's Jehovah, that's the third person of the I Am. It's the personal covenant name of God. The Jehovah God of your fathers. That's my name. It'll be my name with you, my personal name. You're going to be, as we heard a message on it this week, it's God puts us on first name basis with himself in a reverential way. He gives us his personal name. He wants us to know him personally. The pagan world was always haunted about the unknowability of God. Plato used to say, try to investigate and find the framer and father of the universe. Aristotle spoke of trying to find the supreme cause. We know our God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's revealed himself. Folks, every time you hear the name Jesus, doesn't that do something for you? That's God in flesh. He's revealed himself to us. We know him. And he wants us to know him personally. I am that I am, the eternal God, the self-existent God, the omniscient God. He is the one that will always be with us. He is the one that will never leave us or forsake us. He is the one that will be with us till the end of the age. He is our friend. Jesus made that very clear. Yet he is the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But he's our God. As far as the final challenge, folks, spend time with him. We spent a lot of time talking about it this summer. I would encourage you, if you've not tried using the Christ Walk Journal, it can make a great deal of difference. I'd be glad to help you with that. To have a purposeful time, in the first 10 minutes, you meditate on who God is. And then we're going to be preparing over the next couple of weeks a special help for you on how to let the Word of God, as you're reading it, come alive in your pursuit of God, where you begin to know about his person and his different attributes. And once that resource is given to you, I trust that you'll embrace it as we all go on a journey of knowing our God. And so God's name reveals the fullness of his person. Everything we need to know, he has given to us. A ship was caught in the teeth of a storm of the sea. The passengers were terrified, thinking that there was no hope for survival. Then one of the passengers went up to the bridge. He regained his peace and calm, for he saw the captain. His face was beaten by the wind and rain, but his hands firmly held onto the helm. Holding the ship on its course, he, the captain, had a smile on his face. And my friends, the more you know about your God, he has a smile on his face. He is in control. He is your God. He is the great I Am.